How do you pick the right stocks index ETF as an investor based in Belgium? How do you pick the ETF that has highest chances of doing the best work in terms of performance, diversification, costs, taxes, and so many other aspects? How do you select the best stock index ETF for your portfolio of index funds? One that you can keep for a long time and maybe forever, and that can be part of your simple portfolio of two or three index ETFs. Today, we're going to review the 10 criteria that I use and that all my students use to select the best stock index ETF for their portfolio. Those 10 criteria are the product of a lot of work, a lot of research, especially when I came back in Belgium in 2018. And I will do my best here to provide you a summary of what criteria to look out for and to use to select the best index ETF. 7 of them are general criteria, and 3 of them are criteria to optimize the taxes for your ETFO, minimize them, basically. Now, this episode is quite unique in the sense that it is based on a visual, right? So for those of you who are listening to this in the audio, it shouldn't be a problem because I will describe everything really well and fairly slowly. But if you'd like to see the visual, you can always go on YouTube or on the Fire Belgium website or on any of my social media accounts where I am sharing the visual. It's basically just one slide and it will give you a nice summary, something that you can download and keep for yourself and use to select your own stock index ETF. And if you're new to index investing, or if you're at the beginning of your journey, or if you're struggling to get started, then I highly encourage you and I invite you to come and watch the free workshop that's available on our website, firebelgium.com investing workshop. It's a free workshop where I take you through the entire journey of, you know, explaining what index investing is, why it's so powerful, how simple it can be to actually start investing. I show you how to start investing in 5 minutes with less than 100 euros. And I share with you my roadmap, the 4-step learning and investing system, which is basically the blueprint that I use in the programs and I use with all my students to teach how to get started without making the beginner's mistake, making sure you don't forget anything important on the way. It's a blueprint that you can take and use it on your own. And I also invite you to join the program where we help you implement that blueprint. So that is the free workshop. It's available on firebelgium.com investing workshop. I highly recommend you go check it out. And in the meantime, enjoy this episode. So we have 10 criteria. The first criteria is really important. It is management style. And what I mean by management style is whether the ETF is passively managed or actively managed. And as you probably already know, I am a huge proponent of low-cost passive index investing because it is what has been proven to work and to be more reliable and better performant than actively managed funds. And so when we build our investment portfolios, that's what we want to have in there. Now, again, I am an evidence-based investor. The day actively managed funds do better than passive low-cost index funds, then I'll recommend those. But the data that goes back 100 years shows that time and time again, low-cost passive index funds does better than actively managed funds. And so that's what we do. There's a lot of research on this that I will share in a separate episode, but certainly it is our key criteria because it's been proven by science, basically, by data statistics coming from a lot of research institutes and even the European Securities and Markets Authority that has published already a few reports, 6 reports, I believe, since 2018 or 2019, showing that low-cost index funds perform better than actively managed funds all across industry and investments. Anyway, so that's our first criteria. Our second criteria is diversification. And diversification is essentially, it's often referred to as the only free lunch in investing. And that is because when we diversify across multiple investments, we basically smoothen the ride. So we improve the risk-adjusted performance. This means that if you invest in one security or you invest in 20 securities companies in a specific sector, by having this one or those 20, the expected return can be fairly similar. But when you hold 20, you will have much less volatility and the risk of going to zero is much lower, right? So what we do with index funds is we invest in ETFs that follow and track an index that has hundreds or thousands of securities, of companies, of stocks inside them. So we have huge diversification. This allows us to have very good performance at a very low or at a lower volatility, also sometimes called risk, than if we were holding just a few stocks, right? It also allows us to capture basically all the upside from all the stocks that are performing better than expected, even by the top experts, right? Again, simply following an index has been proven to work better than trying to beat the index. And this is just all over the research and the evidence. So we want an ETF that simply tracks an index and ideally a global stock index for the stock part of our portfolio, because that gives us huge amounts of diversification with just one or two ETFs. So that's why this is the second selection criteria. The third selection criteria is low costs, right? So as index investors, the main costs that we have to deal with are transaction costs, which include the brokerage fee, but also transaction taxes, ongoing fees and costs. So that will usually include the ongoing management fee for the ETF, but also sometimes some brokers or some banks will charge you for an annual management fee and some other ongoing fees. And then we have, you know, exit fees, exit taxes, and all that. We want to avoid or minimize costs all across these, right? And the way we minimize transaction taxes or entry taxes or entry fees, sorry, is by working with low-cost brokers and being aware of transaction costs and fees, you know, investing in ETFs that have a zero entry fee and optimizing for taxes, which we'll come to a bit later. But the one type of cost that hurts us the most usually is the ongoing fee. So we pick brokers that don't charge an ongoing fee. There's no custody fee or ongoing management fee or account management fee. That especially we don't want those that are a percentage of total assets under management. And when we pick an ETF, we want to pick ETFs that are low cost, right? Now, the good news is that index funds and index ETFs, which are those that we like, typically, they're fairly simple to manage for the fund manager, and so they can charge very low fees, and they tend to have very, very low fees. And what we want as index investors in Belgium is to pick an ETF that has a total expense ratio of under 0.25%. So this is 5 to 20 times less expensive than actively managed funds. Most actively managed funds are, you know, 10 times more expensive than index funds. So that is the third criteria. Picking an index ETF that has low total expense ratio, ideally under 0.25. And you will see when you do research or in future episodes that we have in Belgium ETFs that are very, very cheap and that go all the way down to 0.05%, I believe, for some bond ETFs. Now, the fourth criteria is replication. And replication refers to the investment approach or technique that the fund uses to build the ETF and to follow the index. And there's two main ways of building an ETF. One is by actually investing in the securities or the companies that are part of the index, so physically owning them as part of the fund. And the other way is to use derivatives such as swaps to replicate the performance of the index that the ETF follows without actually owning those actual securities, right? And in some cases, there's fund managers have built ETFs using derivatives for a bunch of different reasons. But because they're derivatives and that they are prone to all sorts of issues, we prefer to avoid and simply buy an ETF that uses physical replication, either with some kind of optimization or sampling method to get the best balance between covering the entire index and managing costs. So that is for replication, and that is our fourth criteria. The fifth criteria, general criteria, is the size of the ETF. We want ETFs that are well established and big enough so that we have a good idea, or we actually don't expect them to close, right? And this is because smaller ETFs or younger ETFs, things that are more in the testing phase, are more likely to close. And that is because often they become not as profitable to run, right? They're charging a specific percentage, usually quite low. And if assets don't grow above a certain amount, then running that ETF isn't very profitable for the fund manager. And so we like to pick ETFs that are fairly big. And we put that in an arbitrary limit at about 100 million euros, because ETFs above that size are very, very unlikely to close. Now, an ETF that closes is not the end of the world either. It doesn't mean that you lose all the money that's in there. It just means that there's some admin work to do and maybe some transaction costs and taxes to pay. Because basically, when an ETF closes, they tell you in advance, they say, hey, by the way, we're going to close this ETF because we're busy with other stuff. So if you want, you can sell your investment whenever you want and get your money back. Or we'll sell it for you at the end when we close it and we'll send you the cash. Of course, after paying taxes and fees, whatever. So the main thing that's annoying is that you have to pay taxes and fees. And you're forced to sell basically the whole thing. And it's annoying because as long-term investors, we try to minimize the number of transactions we make. And so we don't lose all of it, right? We get the value of the fund at that time. And that's it. That's why we like big, big ETFs. The next, and this is the criteria number 6, is currency. As index investors based in Belgium, we use euros for almost everything in most cases. And so we also like to invest in euros. Now, in the world of investing, most of the investment funds that we actually like to invest in are managed in dollars inside, right? But those funds are also available for us to invest in euros. So they have different versions of the same fund available in different currencies on different stock markets. And so usually, and in most cases, the fund that we want are available in euros on the stock exchanges, for example, of European capitals or European stock exchanges. So in Paris, Amsterdam, Frankfurt, Milan, sometimes in London, sometimes in Zurich. And then there will be the same ETFs available in different currencies in other places. So to keep it simple, we just like to keep pick ETFs that are available in euro. Now, the next criteria is criteria number 7, is an optional criteria. And this is sustainability. And I say it's optional because it depends on your personal conviction, on your personal need to have some kind of sustainability or ethical or moral criteria or filter applied to your investments. It's also an area that's quite complex and controversial because it's not always because something is labeled sustainable that it actually makes a real difference on the ground. And so it's a complex topic. It's one that I have already discussed on the podcast and one for which I will have future podcasts because it's complicated. And I don't necessarily recommend sustainable investing, but if there's a way as investor we can have a positive impact, then certainly I will want to pursue that and I will share that with you. So this episode is not about sustainable investing, but certainly we can discuss this in other episodes. But it is an interesting criteria to consider, so that's why it's part of this list. So we've covered the 7 general criteria. Management style, we like it to be passive, right? We like the ETFs to be passively managed. Diversification, we like ETFs that are widely diversified. And for that, a good way of doing that is to get a global stock index ETF, right? Or an ETF that follows a global index. We want low costs, so we want low total expense ratio, ideally under 0.25. We want ETFs that use physical replication so that we can avoid derivatives. We want an ETF that's fairly big so that they are less likely to close. We like to say that they should be bigger than 100 million euros or dollars. We like our ETFs to be in euros. That's our 6th criteria. And our 7th criteria, which is optional, is sustainability. Now we have 3 more criteria that are there to optimize taxes, basically minimize how much we pay in taxes. And Belgium is an amazing country when it comes to investment taxes for stock market index investors. And that is because there is no tax on stock capital gains. Let me repeat that. There's no tax on stock capital gains. That means we don't pay tax on the main engine of profit of stock investments, which is capital gains, right? So there's a tax on dividends, but there's no tax on capital gains. Well, that makes, you know, living in Belgium amazing for stock index investors or stock investors in general. Now, there is a tax on capital gains for bonds, but we're not going to talk about that today. Today, we talk about stocks. And this is probably the main thing to know is we don't pay tax on capital gains. Now, we do pay tax in a few other areas. There's other kinds of taxes in Belgium. So that's why we have three criteria to minimize taxes. The first criteria is that, well, we don't want to pay dividend taxes, right? So there's no tax on capital gains, but there's a 30% tax on dividend distributions. And so to avoid this one, to avoid having to pay for this one, we like to invest in ETFs that reinvest the dividend for us. We call them accumulating ETFs, instead of distributing them to the investor, right? So the same fund or the same ETF will have often two sub-funds or two sub-ETFs that will handle dividends slightly differently. One will distribute the dividends and one will reinvest the dividends. And those dividends, you might ask, where are they coming from? Well, these are the dividends that the fund receives from the securities or the companies that are held within the fund, right? So not all companies distribute dividends, but most do. And when the ETF receives those dividends, it keeps them for a while. And then on a regular basis, the ETF distributes them to the investor. That's for the distributing version of the ETF. And then for the accumulating version of the ETF, the dividends as they come are basically added to the cash and they are reinvested right away inside, you know, inside the fund so that the fund grows faster. Right. So the two ETFs are basically generating the same amount of value for the investor. It's just that in one case, some of the value is distributed as cash to the investor. And the other case, the cash is not distributed, it's simply reinvested. And so the value of that specific fund will grow faster than the distributing one. Now, another important aspect is that when these dividends are distributed from the ETF to the investor and it comes to our investment account on the brokerage platform, for us in Belgium, we have to pay 30% on all dividends coming from stock ETFs. For individual stocks, there's a limit up to which we don't have taxes, so we'll have to pay tax on dividends above that limit. But for ETFs, it starts from the first distribution. So to simply not have to pay that tax, we select ETFs that are accumulating, reinvesting the dividends. Very simple. Now, there are some times, in some cases, it might make sense to take a distributing ETF. And this is more related to investor psychology. And this is because in some cases, some investors would rather have some kind of cash flow coming from their investment, even if that means paying more in taxes. And this is especially true for people who are getting close to retirement or in retirement and want to withdraw money, but they don't want to have the impression that they're selling shares of their investment at certain times, for example, when the markets are going down, even though, you know, it's a flaw, but it's sometimes a psychological need. And in those cases, it might make sense to have distributing ETFs, even though technically and from an optimal approach, it would be more tax efficient to have an accumulating ETF and sell small parts of your ETF on a regular basis to create this cash flow, even if that means selling a small part of that ETF when the markets are going. It still will be more cost-effective and tax-efficient than relying on dividends. Then that's our first tax optimization criteria, which is number 8 in the big list. And then we have the next tax optimization criteria, and that is the domicile of the ETF. What is the domicile of the ETF? Well, that is where the ETF is based, right? It's like a company, it has its headquarters in a specific country, it's registered in that specific country. Well, an ETF will have that too. It will be based somewhere, right? And depending on where the ETF is based, it will impact taxes. As far as I know, most ETFs that we are investing in as index investors based in Europe can be domiciled in the US, Ireland, Luxembourg, and France. I believe these are the biggest domiciles for ETF. There might be domiciled for ETF in other countries, but for us European investors, these are the main ones I'm aware of. And the US domiciled ETFs are basically those that were mostly available at the beginning, and they're the ones that are mostly discussed online because a lot of the investing literacy and, you know, the blogosphere and all the media is in the US. And so when you read stuff online about specific investment funds and ETFs, Often, these will be American funds and ETFs and domiciled there. And as European investors, that's not always a good thing, because when we have investment domiciled in the United States, we are subject to inheritance tax in the US as a non-resident alien, which means because we don't live there, then we have pretty nasty taxes to pay if we ever pass away while we have investments there. And that tax is called the estate tax, and it's on any amount of investment you have above $60,000 based in the US, you might be taxed, I think, at close to 50%. So it's a huge tax that might not, you know, bother you personally, but it will be annoying for your descendants. So to avoid that problem, we'd rather avoid the US domicile ETFs. Now, there's another reason why it makes sense to pick something like Ireland for the domicile as ETF, is because when investing in an ETF domicile in Ireland, we basically reduce the dividend leakage, which is the dividend withholding taxes that occur on the way, right? So there's multiple levels of tax withholding taxes for dividends, which we're not going to go into details now. But basically, investing in Ireland makes it so that we don't have to pay as much. And this is specifically for US-based securities, which most of the ETFs that we like to invest in have a lot of, right? So Ireland-based or Ireland-domicile ETFs are really interesting. A second good choice for domicile of your ETFs is Luxembourg, even though it's not as effective when it comes to the withholding tax on dividends. So to summarize, for the domicile of your ETF, you like it to be domiciled in Ireland and not in the US. And if you can't find something that suits your needs in Ireland, then you look at ETFs domiciled in Luxembourg. The third tax optimization criteria, and the last one on our list of 10 criteria, is the country of registration. Now, country of registration for an ETF is different from the domicile of an ETF. And I know that there's quite a bit of confusion on this, so I will explain clearly what that means. The domicile is where the ETF is based, headquartered, right? It's only one place. Country of registration, an ETF can be registered in multiple countries. And usually it is registered in countries where doing so allows the ETF to be marketed in that country and distributed by institutions, right? And so many ETFs tend to register in as many countries as they can, because then there's more marketing around their products, right? But in Belgium, there is something quite special, especially for accumulating ETFs, which are the ones that we like to invest in, is that if an ETF is accumulating, so we're not paying tax on dividends, and it is registered in Belgium, so it will be marketed in Belgium, in that case, then we pay a higher tax on transaction, TOB, of 1.32%. And this is basically the way the Belgian state wants to increase the tax on accumulating ETFs that basically don't pay the tax on dividends. Now, that is for ETFs that are registered in Belgium. So as index investors, we like to invest in ETFs that are not registered in Belgium, but in another country of the European Economic Area, because in that case, we don't have to pay the higher tax rate for transactions, which is 1.32 of the transaction amount. But instead, we'd have to pay the low tax, which is 0.12%, so 11 times less, right? And so for that, we pick ETFs that are not registered in Belgium. So they're not on the list of the FSMA, but they are registered in other countries of the European Economic Area, right? So that is our third tax optimization criteria. Let's recap the tax optimization criteria. We want ETFs that are accumulating and not distributing, so that we don't have to pay the tax on dividends. We want ETFs that are domiciled in Ireland or, as a second choice, Luxembourg, but certainly not in the United States, so that we're not exposed to inheritance tax in the US, and we can minimize dividend leakage or the withholding tax on dividend along the way. And finally, we want to pick an ETF that is not registered in Belgium, but in the country of the European Economic Area, so that we can benefit from the lower tax on transaction of 0.12% instead of 1.32% for the accumulating stock index ETFs that we like to invest in. Right, so I know this is quite a lot. And for those of you who are listening to the audio version of the Fire Belgium show, normally it should have given you a good overview of all the things to think about. But I realize that it is a lot of information. So I do invite you to come and check either on the website, either on social media or on YouTube, because basically the whole list of criteria is displayed on the screen and shared on all those platforms. So please go there, save it, print it, and use it to pick your index stock ETFs. Now, of course, a big disclaimer is that I'm not giving any personal financial advice. I am only sharing how I invest and how I teach index investing to people who are based in Belgium. This might feel overwhelming, but basically, if you need help with this, we provide support at FIRE Belgium, either through one-on-one consultations, which you can check on the website at firebelgium.com/one-on-one, or via our education programs. And you can actually start learning by taking or by following the free workshop that exists and that is also available on the website, firebelgium.com/investing workshop. It's free. It's available all the time. Sometimes we have specific dates for it, but usually there's a replay available there that you can go and check out at any time. And in that workshop, we explain the general principles of index investing. We explain how you can start investing in 5 minutes. You can start investing with very small amounts as well. And I share my full roadmap, the whole blueprint of how I would start investing if I was starting from scratch, the mistakes to avoid, the steps to take, the things to pay attention to, and how to actually move forward. And I'm also providing an opportunity for people to join the program that I've developed in the past 3 to 4 years now, and that has helped hundreds of people start index investing in confidence, right? And obviously, this list of selection criteria is a big part of the course. It's actually a fairly small part of the course, but it is provided there with even more support, more details, a lot more examples. We also cover, basically, we provide an entire analysis of all the stock ETFs and bond ETFs that are available for us index investors in Belgium. It covers 36 ETFs at the moment. It's basically all the best ETFs according to those criteria. And so that makes it a lot easier for a lot of people to start investing. The course also includes basically all the guidance and tools and templates that you need to select a broker, to open an account, to make a transfer, to make your first investment, to build and write your personal investment plan, and that with the support of other people who are going through the same journey, as well as the instructors. So that's me and Tone for now. That's what the program includes. So if that's of interest, take a look as well. It's on the website. We talk about it on the workshop with a lot more details. And so you can make a better decision if you go there, I would say. That's it for this one. I will come back in future episodes with specific examples of ETFs that you could consider. I will show you how you can actually find them and how you can assess all of the different criteria so that you can pick a good stock ETF. Right. This is the first time I'm doing this kind of episode. It's very practical. It's very hands-on. I would love to hear your feedback. So you can give me feedback either in the comments on YouTube or by giving me a review on any podcasting platform or by sending me a message or an email. I'd love to hear back from you and tell me what you thought of this. If you find it useful, if you want more of this or less of this. And in the meantime, I'll say goodbye. Thank you. Take care. And see you soon. Cheers.